calling for him if he'll answer me. If he's still out there, KN4 UBG.
Here, KG4 MEK.
Hang on just a second. He just came back to me on the other band. Hang on just a second. Let me swap over.
Y'all on HF, I can go anywhere y'all want to go.
I'm on simplex mode right now, 146-580.
Okay. I probably won't be able to hear y'all then, because I'm over here in Seneca.
Hold on just a second. Let me go back to him on the other band. Hang on just a second. Or UBG. I thought that was him coming back to me, but evidently it was somebody else. That barely did have him in there. Got some Ron 25 down there. I just got to get a hold of him and find out. I got 130 feet from him when I got mine.
Getting on that amount.
Can't remember, man. I think he was getting. I think he was getting about $40 a stick or something like that. For it, I can't remember. I can't remember what I gave him. I paid him $750 for 13 sticks of tower, 3 anchor points. I forgot what the other pieces were. There's 3 other pieces that hooks in. It gives you 3 anchor points. It hooks into 1 point like a pivot point. It was 3 of those and a half a bucket of cable clamps. And I had 750 tied up in mine. I think he's getting, I don't know, if you break the 750 down, I mean, that'd pretty much tell you what, you know, what it was going for. 40 foot, I mean, he, you know, he might do you pretty good on 40 foot.
I think I'm really needing is on my Ron 25 I got right now. I want to go up another 20 feet with it, and I was going to take whatever I had left over and put it out there to the side to put something else on it, because it more or less just to put a smaller beam on and all, but I wanted to try to add 20 feet to that tower, because if I get a guy to come down here with the boom to do it, the amount of money I'm going to have in it, it ain't going to be worth it just to put one 10-foot section in it. I ain't no good at climbing anymore, so it's just like my tower's about, I think, 65 feet, and I wish it was about 75 to 80 feet. It just helped me about getting my wires up a whole lot higher, because right now my 160 wire, there's about 8 foot of it that's making a hard left turn out there at the end of my land, and if I went up that high, I'd be able to have both legs stretched out the way they should be stretched out.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get done, man. I had several trees here behind the house I had to get cut down, because if I put the tower and guide wires up, I would never be able to get the tower or the trees cut down. I got one more tree out here to go, and it seemed like every weekend's been something, you know, and I don't know, I didn't feel too good this weekend, because Friday I bumped my head on the forklift, and boy, I tell you what, that left a big old mark. Left a big old knot on top of my head. You know, usually I wear a hard hat, but, you know, the roof of the forklift is down so low, when I went to step up on it, you know, to sit in the seat, I mean, I hit that thing hard. I mean, it looked like you turned a 3 million kindle-watt light on in front of me for about 6 seconds. And about fell over, but I caught myself. I didn't hit the dirt, and it didn't knock me out, but it wasn't very far from it. And that left a big old knot up there. It looked like cone heads yesterday and today.
On forklift one time, if I hadn't caught it, we wouldn't be talking, but I was taking these big, giant 1,500-pound cloth rolls that they'd finish, and I'd have to take them to the other end of the department to have whatever had to be done to them. Well, they had tags on them, and I had to take a scan one to scan these tags. And the tag, I seen it. I could have got off the lift. I could have just pulled the pole out about 3 foot, got off and scanned it and been done with it. But that tag was like right there between the masts. I thought, well, I'll reach up there and I'll just give it a little zap and it'll probably catch it. As soon as I bent over, daggum leg hit that daggum tilt back lever, and when I did, it tilted that thing back and had me pinched up there between that cab and that beam. I'm gonna tell you something, I almost had a heart attack on that forklift.
That myself, man, hit that lever, have something raised up, trying to look at it or something, hit that lever and that thing dropped down and shake the lift and scare me half to death. About got my arm in one of them things one time like that. And I picked it up and there was a piece sticking in between the mask back there where the cylinder was, and I was trying to keep it from grabbing the hoses. And I grabbed the hydraulic cylinder that pushes it up, you know, the two big ones on the side, and I grabbed one of those and pulled myself up. When I did, my left pocket hit the down button. And, boy, I tell you what, like it took my arm off. But I got it out of there pretty quick. I know the feeling, trust me. But that and Friday, man, I tell you what, that knocked a big old knot on my head, Friday. And it was sleeting and snowing, and then it started raining, and wind, you know, started blowing. It got down real, you know, real chilly over there. I think it got down like 33 degrees, I think. It started out about 38. And I tell you what, it was getting cold out there. I was getting wet, trying to hurry, and wasn't taking my time. And I jumped up in that lift, and when I did, boy, I tell you what, after that, I slowed down a little bit. I didn't care if I got wet or not.
For a freight company delivering freight, kind of like what UPS does, is guy that worked on the dock, and his wife would always bring him his lunch at a certain time, and he was trying to get a truck unloaded real quick, and he come off that trailer and backed out on that dock, and he would spin it around and then go up in another trailer. And in all seriousness, he got really crafted and good with that, doing that. There was a wet spot out there, and it was about the same time she was walking up, and I even hate to tell this story, but just because we're talking about that, but he come out of that trailer, slung it around, went to go up in that trailer, and when he slung it to go up in it, it went right off the dock. It slung him backwards, and the forklift beheaded him.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of those stories, man. I've heard a lot of those stories. And it don't take much. Really don't take much. We was working on a dock. Man, that's been, I don't know, 15 years ago probably. You know, 15 and a half years ago. Cause, I mean, I hadn't been there long. I don't know if I'd even been there 5 months or another 6 months. It might have been 15 and three quarters years ago, because I might have only been there 3 months. But we was on a dock, man, and guy come around the corner on a forklift. I mean, big forklift. You know, me and my partner was standing there in the door opening, and we was getting ready to work. You know, brand new dock. We was getting ready to put the dock equipment up. We just had raised the door up. My buddy was standing there, you know, with his back turned, and I was standing there with my back turned, and we just heard the forklift coming, and all of a sudden looked around the corner of that stuff, and boy, here he come making a left-hand turn, and when he swung, we both jumped out the dock door, and he barely missed running his back wheel out that dock door. If we'd have been standing there, he'd probably killed both of us. He'd have probably pinned us up against the wall, at, you know, the way the back end of that thing came around. I mean, he only missed the wall just by 3 inches or so. And ever since then, man, I've really had respect, you know, watching for forklifts.
Yeah, when we were unloading trailers to switch to freight to put it on trailers for outbound, there was this older gentleman. He'd been working there for about 35, 40 years, I guess. He was getting ready to retire. And I really liked that old guy. He was something else. He's funny, always telling good jokes and stuff like that. Me and him both were unloading his trailer. He was in one loading. I was in the other right beside him. And we were backing out. Well, when he would back out, he would swing one way. I'd swing the other. And we'd avoided each other the whole time we were unloading that trailer. And I just thought I was going to be funny. Come out of the trailer, because I could still hear him. I thought I heard him still up in that trailer. So I come out of that trailer real fast, and I was just going to sling it around and just be sitting there waiting on him. And I guess he had the same thoughts. We both come out of the trailer backwards, and we rammed into each other so hard that it knocked my dentures out of my mouth.
Well, I backed into an I-beam like it over in Union, right there off of 176, where the old Disney building used to be. We was in there working, and they was adding on to it. And I brought some stuff out and set it down the floor and went to back up. I mean, I knew the beam was there. I mean, I just knew it. I knew the beam was there. I mean, I wasn't moving very fast at all, and I hit that beam, and boy, I thought for sure I got whiplash. You know, because, I mean, you already pinned up against that seat. My head went backwards. And big old kaboom, and about that time, everybody come looking around the corners to see what happened, you know, and I was driving. I was headed back toward the door opening where I was at, you know. Kind of drove off like I didn't know what happened, but I mean, I knew what happened. Everybody else knew what happened. Superintendent didn't catch it, but you know, man, I didn't hurt the beam or nothing. I mean, but I hit it dead center with that V on that counterbalance weight. And boy, I tell you what, that thing rattled my eyeballs, jarred my teeth, my head flew backwards. And I was like, man, I thought I done got rear ended, you know. And I had a bunch of people when they were working, you know, I had several forklifts in there. I thought somebody was sitting there. I thought I might have done back into some, you know, other forklift or something, but it was a big old I-beam, about a foot by foot by foot, you know, and probably, I would say that thing was probably 5/8 inch steel or 3/4 inch steel. It's pretty big, and that was just a funny thing, you know. I mean, I've run a forklift many years and never hit nothing with it, but I just backed into that beam that day, and that was weird.
Catch you for me, Kay. I just thought of something really funny. This will make you laugh because you'll get a kick out of this story. Me and my buddy were trying to unload this trailer, and we were unloading it together. And we did a really quick, fast job of it. Well, the dock master come out there, and he said, "Look here, y'all." He said, "Y'all did a good job on that, and I appreciate it." But he said, "You see that 53-footer sitting there that's full of stuff?" He says, "I need everything all the way up to this label put on this trailer, and I need everything with these labels put on this trailer." He says, "If y'all do that for me and can get it done, that guy needs to leave like in 10 minutes. He said, "It'll take you half hour to unload that trailer, but as fast as y'all guys are going, I think y'all can get it done." Me and this guy's name's Randall, by the way. We said, "Well," he said, "I guess we'll do that." So he was trying to get more freight off of me, what I think he was trying to do. So I'd go up in the trailer, jerk a piece off, sling it up in the trailer, he'd jerk a piece off, and we was just like crisscrossing each other going in that daggum trailer. But them guys were out there laughing. They said it looked like a daggum herd of buffalo were up in there having sex or something. It was crazy, because the daggum yard switcher said he thought he was going to have to lock that thing back to the darn dock plate because it was moving so bad. So me and him was going so fast and unloading so quick, we mistimed it, and I went up in that dang trailer, and here he come with me. Two forklifts going for the same dang hole. Would you believe we both went up in there so fast. This, I'm talking metal crunching, paint flaking off. The wheels were burning tires against each other. We were smoking the tires going up in the trailer. We both still grabbed plate, and we both came out at the same time, and we blew the back of the trailer out.
BBG, yeah, roger that, man. I've seen people do that, you know. But, I mean, that is funny, man. It really is funny. I mean, that's, you know, I've watched some of these drivers, man, load some of these trucks. We seen one fall through the bottom of the trailer one day, right before you get to the, the tandems. Between the tandems and the landing gear, he went through the bottom of the trailer. Probably about a 85,000 pound forklift with about 50,000 pounds of weight on the front of it. He went all the way through the bottom of that jugger. They had to get Jolly out there to pick that trailer up on both ends and get that forklift out of it.
I have seen that happen a time or two. And I think the funniest thing I've ever seen was loading. And the guy was loading, and in such a big hurry that he shoved the fork blades. I don't know how he did it, but he had actually picked up his pallet with one blade, but the other blade had got crooked because he was so rough on that lift. That blade was, like, sticking out to the side. So he went down the left side of that trailer, pushing that pallet in there, trying to push it, and he was trying to figure out what in the heck. So he got him another run, backed up, and I mean, he gassed it. He went in that trailer, and that fork blade split that daggum sidewall like a can opener.
Seen that happen. We was in the hole one day working on a dock board, and the guy run a fork through the side of the trailer, man, about 10 foot down from where we were standing at. Took about 4 foot out of the side of that trailer. And the funniest thing was, we were sitting there one day waiting for a truck driver to back in. He was backing into the dock, and we couldn't do nothing until he got backed in. I finally seen why, you know, because they couldn't drive in reverse. Boy, he backed in there and ripped the whole side out of a trailer with another one, you know, because the doors pulled around, them hinges sticking out. Caught the side of that trailer, man. He peeled about 4 feet of that trailer back, and you could look right into that trailer. And, I don't know what they ever done. I guess his insurance had to pay for that, you know, them people's trailer. But that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen that day. I mean, out of a 15-foot wide hole, he had to back into the side of that trailer.
Okay. Yeah, I can talk about this stuff forever, but I do know one thing that I think was funny. I was up north. This was when I actually owned a tractor trailer, and I was picking up at this place. Well, the guard told me at the guard gate, he said, "Sir, when you go in here and you put your trailer up to the dock," he says, "they're going to lock you in, and there'll be a red light there." He said, "Until you get your paperwork," and he says, "they will not give you your paperwork until you're loaded, done, complete, and you're ready to roll." So he said, "Until you get that paperwork, I won't see you until then." I thought, okay, well, he's just being thorough about it. So I just sat out there on their dock and just waited, because they said it wasn't going to take them that long to load me. And a guy walked up to me, handed me paperwork. I looked at it. I went over and looked at the trailer. Everything was full. It was already unlocked. The plate was still in the trailer. And I was like, "Well, don't you need to lift that up?" He said, "No, it'll drop whenever the... It'll drop whenever you pull out. So all you got to do is just take off." I said, "All right." Well, little did I know, guy gave me my paperwork. I already done made that check. The guy and me done looked at it. I went and got ready to walk towards the truck. And he said, "Don't close your doors." He said, "Just pull up out of the guard gate. And the guard's got to see everything. And then he'll seal up the trailer." And I said, "Okay." And so I just hooked up, pulled up there, drove all that way up our guard gate, handed him the paperwork. He said, "Well, everything go okay?" I was like, "Yep, just like you said." And got up there, and he went to walking back there, and he looked up in the back of the trailer, and he shook his head, And I looked around the corner, and his forklift driver was up in there. He said, he can't go. He says, are you trying to get out of work? And he says, no, sir. He said, but I would like to get back to work if he jumped back down there to the dock. I had his daggum forklift driver up on that trailer. He had forgot to put a package on there.
Yeah, I seen that one morning, too. We pulled up, and there was a forklift driver in the back of the truck and got ready to come out. When he got ready to come out, the forklift got wheels on the forklift dropped down between the dock board and the back of the trailer. The driver rode forward about 8 inches, and the lip came out of the back of the truck. Okay, he thought it was loaded, and the guy was trying to put another box on the back of the truck, and they gave him the go-ahead. They had to get a big forklift out there and pick the other one up and set it back up on the dock. That was funny. It bent the end of the dock board when it fell down in the back of the truck, and they had us out there to check out the dock board, but we had to sit there and wait for them to get the lift off the plate so we could get it raised up and fix it back. But, yeah, I've seen some funny stuff, man, seen some funny stuff. Yeah, it's something out there.
Do you work up towards Greenville, or where do you work at?
UBG, man, we go everywhere. I've been about 15 miles outside of Charlotte. I've been 20 miles from the Virginia line on 85. I've been Myrtle Beach. I've been to Charleston. I've been to Savannah. I've been to Augusta. I've been down to almost Atlanta. I've been 20 miles or 15 miles from the Tennessee border, all the way back around through, Hickory, North Carolina, all the way back around to, you know, back to Charlotte. I mean, we cover a big area. We don't really go a long, long ways now. I mean, some of our guys do, you know, because we still have contracts, like up in Chicago and places like that. You know, they have a contract here in Greenville with Coca-Cola and Budweiser, you know, and if any one of them plants up in there call, you know, they have to go. I mean, they go to Virginia, they go to, I think the farthest they said they've ever been was, I think it was Maine, I think. So they had to drive up there just to put a door back in the groove, and said it took them, I forgot how many hours it was to get up there, and it only took them like 4 hours to put the door back in the groove, and they had to drive back. But they paid for the service call all the way up there and all the way back.
Oh, man. Yeah, I've pretty much been pretty much all 48 states for the last 34 years, roughly. Worked up at, I worked in Anderson at Conway Freight for a while. Then they shut that down and moved up to Greenville or Welford. I worked there at that dock and drove a truck there for a while. And then I just went ahead and bought a truck and started driving off road. And once I got out of that, I went back to just doing, all I do now is hazmat, tanker stuff.
Trying to get into that when I was in the road construction. I did road construction for, I think, about 6-7 years. I was in the road construction with APAC McDougal, Avalanche for right about 3 years, and then we a bunch of us swapped over and went with Sloan Construction because they were moving back to Atlanta, and we went with Sloan Construction out of Duncan in the ditch patch up there, and wanted me to get my CDLs and be a lowboy driver. You know, I used to drive I used to take a little dump truck, like a little top kick, something like that, you know, with a low dump bed on it. I'd say a little dump bed, but I mean, it's like 16-foot long bed. You know, we'd take that thing out with a bobcat and a trailer and it had air brakes, and then they had a water truck too that I had to drag the Bobcat around with. It had air brakes, and never did have CDLs, man. I'd done that for 3 years. Drove that thing a little bit everywhere and never did get stopped. But I told myself, if I ever got stopped, you know, the ticket's going to be on y'all, not me. You know, and they said, I'd be fine. So one day they sent me to go get my CDLs or try for my CDLs, and they were going to let me borrow a truck to do it with. And I went over there and kept studying the test, and I went in there and passed the air brakes test, and I failed too many on general knowledge, and I failed too many on the combination. And then I went back and tried for the combination and general knowledge again. And then turned around, and they was having problems out of the computer. I did that like 3 times, and the computer kept freezing up on me. You know, 3 different times I went, and finally after that, I just never did go back. I just lost interest in it then.
Yeah, I've been driving pretty much all my life. Class A tractor trailers, mostly doubles, triples, tankers, hazmat loads, and stuff like that. I've hauled everything from heavy haul to, you name it, if it could be pulled, I've pulled it, and loaded it and unloaded it, operated it and whatever, but I know at this point, I've almost thought that I'd just like to just slow down a little bit, but I don't know if I could get out of truck driving. I wouldn't mind. If I knew it would pay good enough, I'd do it, but I'd like to be a driving instructor. I'd like to just teach some of these young whippersnappers how to drive, because I see some of these young bucks out here driving, and they scare me half to death.
You go both ways, man. I've seen some of the old drivers, too, you know, I don't know, I guess they go from state to state, and they don't do a lot of backing up, man. I mean, I've seen it go both ways. I mean, I used to drive a 53-foot log trailer, and then I drove dump trucks, you know, I don't know, 5 or 6 years, you know, back in West Virginia, you know, and we hauled coal off the strip mines, you know, down the hills. And you're talking about pieces of junk, man. We drove and drove them things for years and years and years until they, you know, died and they had to put us in something else. And I drove a 53-foot log trailer for about 2 years for a logging company, and, you know, that's back before they really started pushing the CDLs, and I moved down here about 3 months into 99, and we got to talking to some of the people around here, and boy, they was hard up on the CDLs here, you know, and back there, they, you know, it didn't really bother us, I guess, because they wasn't a really lot of main roads where we was at, you know. I guess that's one reason they didn't really say too much to us. But down here, it was a big difference, man. When I moved here, everything was totally different. You know, you go back there and take a 48-hour class, and, you know, you do, like, CPR and stuff like that, you know, just in case if something was to really happen and somebody would need CPR or first aid or something like that, you had to be trained in all that. They called it a 48-hour class. You had to sit in that class for 48 hours to get a card that said 48-hour card. And that gave you the privilege to drive from the top of the strip mines down and get on the highway for 2 miles, go 2 miles, and you had to go to the silo or the tipple where they loaded the coal cars at, you know. But I don't know, man. Down here, it was totally different when I moved here. I was like, oh, my goodness. Everything was different.
Kilo Golf 4, Mike, in a warm Kilo. Look, I hate to cut it short and all, but I enjoyed it. I really did. I got to go out here and take care of the farm animals and get them fed and get this herd rousted up into the barn and get that taken care of. I usually get that done about 10 o'clock, and it's like it's knocking on 11. Yes, that just after 11. I gotta go do that, and then I can sit back and listen to the radio for to probably about 1:30, 2 o'clock, and then after that, that'll be it for me. That's about how late I stay on here on the weekends. But anyway, yeah, if you find out anything, I definitely want to get at least 2 sections to where I can get that tower up higher. That's one of my main concerns. I wanted to get enough to be able to do that and maybe put up a little bit over to the side just to put some of these beams that I build. I like to have put them on something. And if I got a short stick sticking up, I could put them on there, work on them, and then get down and mess around with them a little bit and then get back up there and work on them again and then get back down and, you know, by the whole back and forth thing. But anyhow, if you find out anything, just give me a call on the radio. I'm on here later in the afternoons pretty much every day. And talk to you later. I'm going to get out of here and go take care of all them goats I got out there running around. They're probably cussing me out now. KG4UK.
Man, well, I mean, I have a telephone number. If you want to write it down and text me, you know, I'll see if I can get a hold of him sometime tomorrow and let you know something back between tomorrow and Monday. I mean, if you want to take the number down and text me your number, and I'll text you back and let you know. If you want to do it that way, or you just want me to holler at you, or however you want me to do it, I mean, that's fine with me, whichever way you want me to do it.
Yeah, it'd be odd on the radio right now. This radio is always on. Like tomorrow, it'll be on from about 1 o'clock all the way up until about 9, and then every day I'm on here from 4 o'clock until about 9 o'clock every day, and then Wednesdays I'm on here from 4 o'clock until about midnight because I don't work, but I work 4 days a week, so I'm not very hard to get in contact with.
What your call sign was?
This is Kilo Golf 4, Mike Uniform Kilo, KG4MUK.
Hey.
Whiskey Alpha Yankee November Echo, Wayne.
Wayne? Well, we'll holler at you sometime tomorrow and let you know something, but I'll see if I can get a hold of him. He might have been in the bed. That might have been his brother over in Spartanburg who came back to me earlier. They have a little frequency between them two that, you know, they pretty much stay on. But as soon as I find out something, I'll let you know right back. I mean, he's got all kinds of stuff down there. I'm sure he's got 40-foot of tower. Are you wanting the 40-foot, you know, the top section? You want it, you know, a tapered top section, or you just want 40-foot pieces?
Just pieces. I don't need a topper. What I'm wanting to do with it is just add to that one and then have enough out there sticking up to just set antennas up on so I can test them.
Well, roger that, man. I'll let you know something back tomorrow. Well, I'll say 73s to you. KG4MUK. KN4UBG. I'll say 73s and we'll holler at you tomorrow sometime and let you know. And you have a good night over that way, and get the animals put in out of the cold, and we'll holler at you tomorrow.